and then kind of turn things around.
To go back to CJ's initial point, the year that everybody else let you down because Michigan did its job, it all comes back to Texas had, what, first and goal from the two to tie the game. They tried to run, like, the weird toss sweep, and by the end, it's fourth and goal from the 10, and then they get the strip sack for the touchdown. But, like, they were 2 yards away from tying the game. And because they couldn't run the ball, they lose.
Yeah, so we'll see how that ends up playing out. Football is about more than just one stat and one position group, but that's something that one of the bigger questions I have in college football this season, both for Oklahoma and Texas, is, hey, how well will this team run the football? How Texas,
it's the most underrated part of the Indiana story is how well they've been able to run the ball.
Yes, but run the football. Like, that's the difference in Indiana in years past versus Indiana right now, the past, what, two or three seasons, is they can match your physicality up front. It's part of the reason Alabama has taken a step back. Alabama used to dominate you up front in the trenches on the offensive line and on the defensive line. They have since taken a step back to being good, but not dominant. And the great teams are dominant up front. And so what Indiana has done is become dominant up front. Sure, it helps having Fernando Mendoza there. Sure, it helps being an elite defense as well. But if you can get the big boys up front, because we just don't make a lot of them. We make skill position players. We make quarterbacks. We don't make a whole lot of 6'4 and up, 300-pound plus dudes who are athletic, smart, aggressive, and capable of holding up in the trenches against some of the best in the nation. And so if you can get enough of those, and I don't know if Texas and Oklahoma have that right now. Now, we'll find out as the season goes on. But if they do, they'll be fine. If they don't, they will be closer to everybody else as opposed to elite.
CJ, you're great to join us, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurd of Grind City Media. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the list. We've got an ESPN investigation into the Steve Ballmer and the Kawhi Leonard salary cap circumvention. We also have a statement from the NBA. Let's talk about that story and more next, right when we come back, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Make your savings count with Leaders Credit Union. Goals are important in both sports and life, and you need a champion who is looking out for your best interest. Leaders Credit Union wants you to win with their Forward Plus high-yield savings accounts, which earn 3.5% APY. This account has no balance tiers and no hoops, so you can just let your money earn without any added worries. Make your savings count with Leaders Credit Union. You can visit leaderscu.com/ESPN for the full details. Leaders, of course, is a not-for-profit financial institution fully owned by the members and operating for their benefit. They, of course, offer the checking and savings accounts, as well as loans, mortgages, credit cards, and state-of-the-art technology to help you move forward. They have over 85,000 fee-free ATMs and 5,000 shared branches worldwide that can serve as your Leaders branch. They've created a special webpage for our listeners, leaderscu.com/ESPN, where you can learn more and learn about getting your membership fee waived. leaderscu.com/ESPN. Bit of a scheduling conflict for Chris Harrington. He's pulling double duty. If you've been reading over the Daily Memphian, he's also writing the early word as well as his normal responsibilities. He has a scheduling conflict, so we will have to talk to Chris next week. But we've got a gimmick. What would we talk to Chris Harrington about? And we'll discuss that next. Before we do any of that, let's get into the list. The Los Angeles Clippers. So this story just broke from Don Van Natta, Baxter Holmes, and Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. It will get more complicated, but are you ready, Kevin?
Yes.
The NBA has found no evidence showing LA Clippers owner Steve Ballmer funneled money through team sponsors to pay Kawhi Leonard in order to circumvent the salary cap, according to three people with knowledge of discussions between the two sides in recent days. Instead, the NBA is focused on whether the team's introduction of Leonard to team sponsors constitutes a violation of the league's rules prohibiting salary cap circumvention, two sources said. The league is examining whether the Clippers are guilty of, quote, failure to supervise, end quote, employees, though it's unclear what specific rule the team would have violated or what the penalties would be, two sources said. The 11-month investigation into salary cap circumvention allegations expanded beyond Leonard's deal with Aspiration, the now-defunct green banking company at the center of the allegations, to at least three other companies that also had deals with the Clippers, two of the sources familiar with the talks told ESPN. However, sources said the league has presented no evidence that Ballmer funneled money to Leonard. The league presented initial findings of its investigation, led by law firm Wachtell, Lipton, Rosen, and Katz, to the Clippers in late July, according to multiple people familiar with the matter. In recent days, both sides have been negotiating a resolution to the investigation, the people said. Those talks, led by attorney David Kelly of the law firm O'Melveny and Myers for Ballmer and the Clippers, and the NBA general counsel Rick Buchanan, at times have been spirited, end quote, one source said. One of the additions, this is from NBA spokesman Mike Bass, quote, ESPN's article regarding the Los Angeles Clippers investigation, for which the NBA declined to cooperate, contains numerous and significant inaccuracies. The results in this matter will be made clear once the investigation is concluded. So, where do y'all think we are? Because I do not think when Don Van Natta, Baxter Holmes, and Ramona Shelburne investigate, I don't think they usually come up with reports that are, shall we say, wildly inaccurate.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. I don't know. I'm curious on what you think the timeline should be or would be for this, because that's what's confusing to me. It's like, I wasn't necessarily, we knew we were waiting for the NBA schedule to come out last week, you know, and a lot of, we get in this routine of stuff, especially with the NBA, right? It's a year-long calendar. We know Summer League is here. The draft is there. The finals is here. And, like, where would the NBA typically wrap up and try to sweep under the rug its what could be its biggest scandal in quite some time?
All right, George, I was trying to – so the law firm that they use is the law firm they almost always use in terms of these types of investigations. So, obviously, criminal charges weren't filed, so they weren't piggyback. Like, if right, you use the gambling example.
Yeah, you can't control the timeline
correct.
On that.
Right.
Because it was, when was it, when all those players were arrested by, or and Coach Billups and FBI arresting them, like, you couldn't control when that happened.
Was it opening night?
It was very, it was.
Because, you know, those, a lot of times was, those are, the arrests are usually made in order to inflict the greatest amount of attention. I want to say it was like opening day, opening night.
It felt very close.
When Chauncey and them got arrested.
It was not
October 23rd.
Yeah, it was not ideal. It was opening week.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very
it was,
close.
If it was not the night of, it was right around there. So, like, if you're the NBA, this is a great time to, if you're going to try to wrap it up now. But
Chauncey Billups got one game in last season.
The conflicting reports. So ESPN is reporting that
they, NBA
has not found anything.
Has not found any information.
No evidence.
No evidence that links Ballmer essentially as, like, orchestrating it. Now,
but the NBA is saying,
the NBA,
that's a response to the ESPN article? Is there?
The NBA's statement is as follows, which does, I guess, leave some technical wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN's article regarding the Los Angeles Clippers investigation, for which the NBA declined to cooperate, contains numerous and significant inaccuracy.
We just don't know what they're saying.
The results in this matter will be made clear once the investigation is concluded. So, honestly, the way that I read that is they're probably going to have nitpicks. The question will be whether the crux of the story is incorrect. And the crux of the story, to me, is as follows. You can't connect Steve Ballmer to the actual salary cap circumvention. Now, what they're trying to decide is, essentially, if you go back to, like, a good old-fashioned NCAA investigation, did they failure to monitor? or lack of control.
Lack of institutional control is everyone's favorite phrase for God knows
but
how
if
long.
And so that you think the NBA is possibly going to punish the Clippers for, I mean, it's the, one of the easiest teams, in theory, to punish. I mean, what
I think the first question is whether or not these numerous and significant inaccuracies, does it relate to Steve Ballmer? Because that's the most important question. Because my instinct is that Ballmer was likely.
He had, if something happened, I would.
Right, but I was thinking, like, I almost think oftentimes these are kind of predetermined investigations.
Oh, you think this is predetermined?
And Ballmer, with his relationship with Silver and being the richest owner, I always thought it was unlikely that he was going to absorb the brunt of it.
The story's been very fascinating with Leonard getting paid extra, you know, deals set up by the team to circumvent the salary cap, to have sponsors pay him for things that they would not usually have. Athletes endorse Jumbotrons now, and what was the other one? Some trees and stuff.
That was Aspiration.
That's the big one.
For trees.
Aspiration was the big one. But the one with Daktronics, though, is I'm not saying that they had never had a celebrity endorser, but there was no knowledge of a, particularly of an athlete representing Daktronics. And then there was one more also. There was a wireless provider that was also, I hope you're sitting down for this, the wireless provider of the Intuit Dome.
Of course. Well, that hey, at least there's some connection there. Where's our wireless? Why is Ubiquiti not the wireless supplier of internet to FedEx Forum, you know? But the...
Or at least having a sign somewhere.
Sponsors.
They do if you look hard enough.
They do? You have to look hard enough? All right. George, we got to...
Where is
a scavenger hunt?
Not something? An actual sign, but there are logos. There are Ubiquiti logos
inside
scattered about. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like the hidden Mickeys at Disney World.
Okay.
I guess. We're going to go look for
is
it.
Is that how you find club whatever?
I don't know. There's
Mickey
like
Mouse
Mickey Mouse.
No. It's like the secret. I don't know if they have it at Disney World, but they had it at Disneyland.
Is there a secret club? The hidden
it's
Mickeys
like the,
guide
the,
you there?
There's like a secret like fine dining place that is like around. I can't remember if it's Pirates of the Caribbean or Haunted House.
The Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland has the a restaurant that you get to eat at while people load onto the boats.
Correct.
So it's like at the very beginning of the attraction. It's one of the coolest. It's probably the coolest restaurant at Disney. I've never got to eat there yet, but the fact that like you're kind of part of the attraction and a very iconic attraction in Pirates of the Caribbean. But we get all. I mean, I guess pirates they do. You know, they still steal some loot, but the.
We also do have a statement from the Clippers on this.
Okay. Let's hear it. Oh, great.
I didn't know if you wanted to save this for anything, Jeffrey.
Go ahead.
You're going to catch what I'm getting at.
Let's hear their story.
No, the Seahawks. I know it came out on Friday, but the Seahawks told a hell of a story on Friday.
So this is from the actual Clippers media information, and Siegel has reposted this. A full statement from the LA Clippers. The Clippers introduced players, including Kawhi Leonard, to companies with which we had business relationships. Making introductions between players and team partners is both an ordinary practice by NBA teams and a common request of players and representatives. From there, Kawhi and his representatives handled their own negotiations. The Clippers did not negotiate or dictate the terms of Kawhi's endorsement agreements or determine what he would be paid. Our commercial relationships stood on their own merits. We chose sponsors, vendors, and other business partners based on normal business considerations, including the value they provided, the quality of their products and services, and their ability to meet our business needs. We did not overpay any vendor or provide any sponsor, vendor, or business partner with discounts or other favorable terms in order to funnel money to Kawhi. The fact that a player has an endorsement relationship with a company that also does business with his team is not evidence of salary cap circumvention.
All right, I think we've gotten to the crux of what their argument is, which, to be honest with you,
I think they have plausible deniability.
I think their argument is going to be, if you're going to punish us for introducing our players to other companies that we have a business relationship with, you're going to be going after a lot of the league. And to me, that's reasonable, but it always gets back to what I've kind of thought is always true. The Clippers are not the only team that has done this. The problem that they have, though, is they're a lot like the college football team in a bygone era that got caught.
I guess, well, the issue isn't, and they should be, the team should be able to introduce you to, I guess, the response, maybe, I guess, right? The issue is he's like being a spokesperson, being paid an insane amount of money to be a spokesperson for things that don't usually have spokespeople.
Correct.
For. So that's the
no-show
jobs. Right? These no-show, no, that's the stuff that they didn't cover in that statement. And it's like, why? So you introduced them, but why is
well,
this company doing this?
I actually think
this?
They introduced, I think they did address it by, they're putting it off on Kawhi's people. Because didn't they, in that statement, wasn't there something about an introduction to our business partners?
More or less.
But then didn't they also specify, like,
once
it
negotiations
was left,
start,
it
it's
is.
All them.
There it is. It's
not
like,
us.
Right. Well, because often, I mean, the business partner is going to be a fan of the team, so maybe they do want to offer. I mean, there's plausible deniability here of, like, we're a big fan of the team. We have no money involved. But the tree company, they do, or they're tied in with ownership, right?
They were tied
with the jersey patch for a while.
Well, and they're also tied with Ballmer because I believe Ballmer was the most prominent investor.
Correct.
But the other issue with that one is that seems to be clearly it was a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, more or less. Their founder, CEO, whatever.
So you're always going to have plausible deniability when, like, you can just say we are a victim of the fraud.
Sure.
It's the Madoff example.
I think to me, and I've been saying I don't think tanking. I'm not bothered by the tanking in the NBA, and this is something that should concern Grizzlies fans more than anyone else. And will the NBA put together some convoluted rules to try to prevent this? That to me is I'm more concerned about what rules are. The Clippers did not win anything. So, like, I don't really care about the punishment for the Clippers as much as I care about the NBA saying this is how we will prevent this from happening
precedent.
In the future. Because, right, yeah, the punishment will maybe help prevent it. So that is why I'm somewhat interested in the punishment. But, like, what are the rules in place? There needs to be specific rules. And can they put in that many specific rules before the next collective bargaining agreement? I don't know. Like, that would really be effective on making sure that teams that have more money and more connections and more power than the Memphis Grizzlies do are able to offer side deals to these free agents that the Grizzlies have no chance already to get within the salary cap. And then, so it hurts the Grizzlies if teams are able to get away with something like this. But the positive is this team got caught. They got caught without winning anything, so it didn't really work out for them. And the NBA is still in its most open-ended winning era ever, right? The parity in the NBA at the top is we're going on to what's the season? I should know this because this is what I root for. What number season in a row with a different champion? But like, it has not.
So go back to.
It has not impacted. It has not impacted.
I think it's back to the Raptors, right?
I believe it's
19. So I think it's 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Yeah.
It hasn't impacted as far as we know. Of why it's not like some team has been gaming the system and building a dynasty, right? There hasn't been, you know, there's not like a Deflategate scandal. You'd be like, well, my goodness, well, how are the Patriots are doing something to give them an advantage? Or is it? We don't know. Well, we find out that one of these teams that have won over the past 8 years has done that. But I want to see some rules and stuff in place.
To going back to your questions, I think the first thing you're going to have to establish is this. How many teams are maybe not to the degree that the Clippers did with Kawhi? Because there also does seem to be a Kawhi aspect of this where Kawhi and Uncle Dennis, they were operating at an aggressive level that was unusual even by NBA player standards. I think what you're going to have to start with is how many teams are using some version of this?
Right. And to what degree can
because it seems likely to me the Robert Paras of the world, the Clay Bennett's of the world that own the Thunder, the Spurs, like the small markets are obviously going to be bothered by this because they're probably not going to have the ability to use and game the system like this.
I mean, is there like...
But I mean, everyone points to the fact that the Lakers were contacted by Kawhi, mm-hmm. and they were like, oh no, we would never do this. That's against the rules. But you have to remember at that point, the Lakers are also still somewhat of a family business. And do they have the same connections that Steve Ballmer had that could set these things up? No, I wouldn't think so.
Would it be outrageous, so in the next collective bargaining agreement, that they try to make it where players have to disclose their sponsorship agreements?
So that was the next point that I would argue. Now, granted, I guess because it's an investigation, you don't really see the players' union coming out against this. And I guess the argument would be, well, why would they? Because in the end, this is additional revenue for their players.
Exactly. 100%.
And why would they want to cap that?
And not even cap it, but like it just should be disclosed. So if anything, then if it does pop up that, oh, you had this deal that you didn't tell anybody about with this Jumbotron company, that then that you could, there'd be like a direct line of who to get punished. Like the player is then also in part responsible for it. Because you can't blame Leonard for going after this money either, right? Like if people are willing to pay him money for doing nothing.
You can ask.
Right. So like, I don't know. I don't know if they just have to disclose, like, hey, here, you have to report to the NBA. But again, I don't know if that would,
well,
how the pushback would be on that.
Where we'd have to start is this. Does the league think of this as a problem? Because I sit exactly where you do. We can get mad about all the things online that people get mad about the NBA, which more times than not, I'm just like, I don't care. Moving on. Mm-hmm. This is something that I believe is legitimately cheating. The point of a salary cap is to make it to where everyone's playing by the same rules in terms of signing players.
And it's cheating in a way that the Grizzlies do not even have the option to cheat that way.
But it's also cheating in a way that is against the whole organization of the league, which is a salary cap-based league. So the first established fact that you'd have to figure out is, does the league actually care about this? And to me, it seems like the answer is going to be, well, it depends. Some owners are clearly going to care about it, and I think some are also going to do the, oh no, this is terrible. Huh, how about that?
Right. But what, yeah, so what's stopping FedEx from saying, hey, Wimby, I'll pay you $50 million a year to be a spokesperson for FedEx, come play for the Grizzlies?
I think the first thing you would have to say is visibility, because one thing that I do take note of with Kawhi, number one, even though it was a company that was on the logo and was a big sponsor of the Clippers,
was a no-show job.
But hands up, anybody knew what Aspiration was before or after?
No. We don't know what it is.
Again,
like, and I've watched every Pablo Torre clip for this.
All right, now, so let's set them aside. I knew what Daktronics was because I've gone to stadiums my whole life.
Right.
But if you're asking me, did I know one way or another whether or not Daktronics had endorsers?
But the last time you bought a Jumbotron, like, how did you know which Jumbotron to buy?
Well, I mean, I have looked at a couple of, like, in-home options. Daktronics was probably not the best provider.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a company that is not all that visible, other than you look up and you see Jumbotron, and then the other is a wireless provider. I don't know how you say it. Is that Boingo or is that Boingo?
Well, I like the way you said it first time.
I say Boingo.
Boingo. That's, I mean, if I was trying to pick my wireless provider, I would go with Boingo.
Now, Boingo might be like one of those companies, like maybe not to the degree that Ubiquiti is, but like, you know, oftentimes when you'll find out there's some tech company that's worth like billions and billions of dollars, and you're like, huh? I never even knew about that.
Right. Yeah.
Like Boingo may be one of those companies, but we're not talking about a highly visible company. And also, companies that aren't necessarily associated with one team. If, using your example, FedEx decides we want to get Giannis to Memphis or get Jokic to Memphis after he doesn't sign his extension, it's going to be kind of tough to hide FedEx giving Jokic $50 million. These feel like the perfect companies to maybe hide some money with, right?
Correct.
Because they're not highly visible. Like, or if, all of a sudden, Jokic wants you to get in the zone, auto zone. Well, we're probably going to have like a couple of questions that we have to answer after that.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, I mean, I guess. I mean,
this is a fun one, too. Just like how Daktronix, why you would not expect or anticipate that being a company that necessarily needs public celebrity endorsement is because it is a business to business.
Correct.
They're literally jumbotrons.
George,
that is their
George, B2B baby.
Same difference.
That's.
But that is what they do. Like this is a large scale.
Would they count as inside sales? I was always unclear
more,
that when I was on
department.
The sales
department.
Like, because I was always outside sales, which to your point is retail, and
right.
You need. These are not companies that need a ton of advertising.
No, because Boingo Wireless. Guess what they are typically used for? Large venues like airports and stadiums.
Right.
It's not like you just go up to them and say, guys, I need y'all to fix the modem at my house.
Also, right. I'm pretty sure Boingo, I want to say one of the airlines when you used to buy the internet, Boingo, so you bought it. Delta, probably.
Yep.
That sounds about right.
Hey, but you actually might have gotten that with your loyalty program with Amex and MasterCard.
Or just my... Sky Miles account.
But whichever, like it's not like this is your AT&T or Spectrum. This is a large scale.
They do not have a retail component.
No.
Correct.
I'm not bringing them to put fiber at the house.
I think the other aspect of all this, though, is like, can you punish Kawhi?
I don't think if he broke a specific rule, then yes. The question is, what is it?
So, and
what specific rule that he would be breaking?
I think the rule that you would be breaking is, you've signed a contract outside of what is allowed by the NBA knowingly. But to your point, that feels like that's going to be kind of difficult to prove, and also the no-show aspect of this, I think, is what's going to hurt him. But like,
sure.
If you're Kawhi, isn't your first defense, you don't prevent LeBron from signing every advertising deal on the planet. Steph's
right.
Got
and it comes down like, well, how many times do you have to show up for it to count as a real thing? And like, would he have shown up for aspiration stuff like that? Right?
Well,
like, if there's actual rule, well, can you put in rules that could prevent it? Like, if the rules were like, well, you can't do no-shows. Okay, well, then he has to show up. How many times does he have to show up at an aspiration event, even if it's a corporate retreat?
Golf tournament or whatever.
You
know, yeah, I don't
just
know.
Just out
yeah.
there to make it count. I mean, that's where they've got to get, you know, and the NBA is, they are the best league at making things confusing and complicated.
Probably by design.
Right. And I think they could do that with this as well if they wanted to. But
George, do you think? Because I know we've talked about it on the show. This is something that actually annoys me. Does it actually bother? Let's not say casual fan that watches the playoffs, but person that consumes the NBA on a regular basis. I'm not saying they watch. They all have league pass and they're. You know, they're writing about the league day in, day out or what. But, like, someone who consumes the product more than just watching the playoffs, does that person seem to care?
At this point, I'm not actually sure what aspect of this that people care or don't care about. The fact that this has taken so long has been... other than, you know, and this is obviously no disrespect to Pablo Torre and the work that they've done, you know, with how many months of their own independent investigation, but it feels like the only actual coverage of this, apart from, oh, hey, here's a statement from, you know, the NBA or statement from sources, it just hasn't been covered. There's been no detail of this put out. Now, that's probably done on purpose by the league. I would say almost assuredly that's on purpose.
Well, it's like, but that's the question is the confusing aspect of this
I mean,
the mystery of it.
Or you're talking about a casual NBA fan,
right. The intention, if you will,
right?
A casual fan of the league, whoever that is. Like, it's hard for me to understand that mindset. You know, since
it's more just like
there's been a team. Like, I think so many people are fans of a particular team. Obviously, a lot of the general NBA fans are fans of players.
Yep,
in particular. But if you're a fan of a team, if you have your team, I think you are paying attention to this, and I think it does matter. But otherwise, I'm not sure. Again, I can't figure out what the person who is just a fan of the league as a whole without having a team. And if you have a team, it matters for your team.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing is like...
But it's not as buzzy as tanking. Like, if tanking was such a huge deal earlier this year, they've come up with these rules that are not going to fix anything, I don't think. I really do not believe these rules are going to fix any of the issues that they're having. Some of it will fix itself just based off of natural draft stuff. But
well, I think to your point, though, if you look at the way the league office handled tanking versus the way they handled this, one, it felt like, we can do something. This one feels more like... what are we going to do here? Like, that's kind of what I think is the larger issue at hand.
Yeah.
Because, okay, then it becomes of, who are you protecting? Because, like, if you want to go to, George, your point of, oftentimes... A lot of these investigations or even the reporting ends up going nowhere because it becomes a little more circumstantial and it's the you don't have a smoking gun. Pablo has multiple smoking guns. Whether it be the Aspiration no-show, whether it be the Daktronics no-show, like there are, like oftentimes it's like you think something shady happened, but you realize you can't quite tie it together.
You can't stick it on someone.
Correct. And I think we all understand if you're running a league, like you have to, you can't just penalize based on what you think is happening. Like that's not a good formula.
Right.
But this one is way more cut and dry. I don't know. I think the first thing to monitor is if when the NBA is saying ESPN's reporting contains numerous inaccuracies, is the number one question is, are the inaccuracies about Steve Ballmer or are they about maybe getting some of the details right? Because my suspicion is going to be it's going to be getting the details right. And oftentimes that's what people hide behind. Like I think back to when Kirby... Remember when Kirby went after the Atlanta Journal-Constitution when they were reporting on, can't remember if it was the number of arrests or maybe it was the number of
traffic incidents.
They got the exact number wrong. Now, that allowed Kirby to sit there and go, fake news, whatnot. It's like, the story was correct. They did not nail a detail. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't nail the details. Like, but... In the end, I didn't really care necessarily that a detail was wrong, but it still allowed them to Georgia and Kirby to take the moral high ground and the high horse. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Chris Harrington does have a conflict. He can't be with us, but what would we discuss with Chris Harrington? We've got Grizzlies schedule, we got Consumer's Guide, and also we got some Malco news that might be exciting. Kevin will tell you about that when we come back. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Oh, great prize for next hour's Righter Than Right trivia. $25. It's a gift card to Denstall's, everybody's favorite local chocolate shop. But it's more than just chocolates. You can even get stuffed bears for your 3-year-old daughter, which her birthday's coming up this week. I got to figure out what I'm getting there. But again, outstanding prize pack. We will do that at the top of the next hour. Chris Harrington is doing double duty at the Daily Memphian. He's got a conflict, so we'll have to talk to him next week. But, Kevin, you wanted to start...
Double duty.
You wanted to start with what would we have spoken to Chris about?
What would we? I know we would have. It was an exciting weekend. We'll just postpone the conversation with him, but I do want to get into it a little bit because he's got his consumer's guide up.
So you would not have started with Paw Patrol the Dino Movie?
I would not have started.
Okay. You would have started with... You would have started with the consumer's guide.
Did you go see it? I'm not. We're past Paw Patrol.
I I want to take my daughter to the movies. My wife is very...
Oh, you haven't gone yet. Yeah, she haven't gone.
She thinks she's too young. And
the birthday's 3 coming up?
3 on Saturday.
So we've got... It's going to be the year. This next
Well, I was trying year. To explain to her, one of my mom's friends was taking me to movies at this age. And, like, I did fine.
I think she's fine. She's very accustomed to screens.
Very accustomed to screens.
And it's whether or not she's going to think it's too loud.
We had a great moment today. Where in carpool line at her school, a teacher will take her out of the car seat,
mm-hmm.
and the move so that daddy doesn't stare at his phone while he drives, he gives it to Josephine. And Josephine was howling at the scene in one of the Bluey episodes when Bluey bum shuffles. And she told the teacher, Bluey's bum shuffling and showing the phone, and she's laughing hysterically. And the teacher could not have been more confused, like had no idea. So that's where we were on screens.
Well, which is also a great segue of my prediction that she'll go to the movies in the next year because Disney officially
D23.
Announced, they officially announced the Bluey movie will be coming out next summer.
To which my wife also said the Bluey Facebook or social media groups were on fire hating the animation style. Because it's not the hand-drawn Bluey. It looks like the 3D animated.
Well, does it say I've not watched the trailer
yes.
yet?
Well, it's a teaser. It's definitely not. It's like
yeah,
Bluey and Bingo are playing Keepy Uppy, and all you see at first is the balloon. And at the very last, I don't know, 3 seconds of the trailer, the camera pans down to Bluey and Bingo, and they're in the 3D animation style.
So that does, I mean, but I guess that begs the question. And that does, I'm out on that already. So like,
I thought it looked fine.
I think it's gonna be a good idea. So like to me, if you're still running new episodes of a show,
yep.
your movie needs to be different in some capacity.
I mean,
if we're gonna do a different type of animation for the movie, I could get behind that. But it also could be a red herring. They say it's gonna be this. Could they be messing with us? I don't know. It's not typical of Disney to do that, but I could see Bluey reimagining Bluey in a different type of. I don't want to see a fake. I'm tired of the live action movies that are not live action. Like, hey, we're going to do a live action Lion King, but it's computer animated.
All CGI.
Yeah. It's like,
Jungle
no,
Book.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, what? Get out of here with that. That's bananas. So, anyway, so I do think she's going to go to that. I do think, but yeah, the Paw Patrol, it had already one of the just weirdest product placements on a Big Brother I've ever seen in my life.
Paramount was every.
It's everywhere.
Every Paramount. Live broadcast had a tie into the Paw Patrol, which I was like, that's a first.
I mean, it is everywhere. For some, it made no sense. The Big Brother, they did a Paw Patrol puzzle. These are grown adults doing a live Paw Patrol puzzle on television on Big Brother, and crazy stupid stuff happens on Big Brother. But Paw Patrol challenge recently. So yeah, I'm not going to see that, but. There is big change happening at Malco. I might go see it if it was in a D-Box and the only movie in the D-Box.
All right, so this, of course, was the big news from last week. I believe
definitely
7 theaters.
Definitely talked to Harrington about this. We've been talking to Harrington about this.
7 theaters, correct? I think it was 3 parodies, so yes. 4 Collierville?
Okay. Well, yeah, and then there's one more on Arkansas, the Fort Smith one.
Okay.
So Malco, of course, is really big in Arkansas as well as Tennessee and Mississippi and surrounding states. There are a few of them in the other ones. But yeah, so Arkansas, well, hold on, maybe it's also at the Fayetteville one too. So I guess maybe 4 theaters.
So the Northwest Arkansas, but for in
Here's
terms
the
of
the official one, the initial deployment will include Paradiso, Carville, yes, Fayetteville, and Fort Smith, Arkansas. So 2
okay,
in Arkansas,
so,
2
so
in
So 2
Tennessee.
Northwest Arkansas, 2 in the Memphis market. Mm-hmm. Okay.
D-Box.
All right, so for those that don't know, these are the movie theaters that are the completely immersive experience with the like the best way I could say is your seat has a rumble pack for the N64 kids out there.
For the younger kids, you'd have to say it a different way. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Oh. The rumble pack was the greatest.
Rumble pack was N64, right?
Yes.
What did we attach to PlayStation for the?
I called everything rumble pack. After.
Yeah,
it
I did
was
too.
Like
that's,
weedy.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like
it's
Xerox,
like Kleenex.
And
yeah.
Kleenex. It's even though. That wasn't what it was called. But yeah, so you'll sit, it's like kind of like you're on a ride, but you're not a ride, right? Your chair is going to move along with the action is what the D-boxes do. So your chair moves and it moves based off of you have preferences, so you can make it
more intense.
Yeah.
Like you can set the okay. The other question that I had though is, does this also have 3D? Because I felt like we had finally won the war that 3D stunk, but now I feel like 3D's been coming back.
Now I don't know if they. I don't think it's 3D part of it. See, I've never been to a D-Box.
Is it sensory overload? That's my concern.
Well, I mean, that's what you've got to separate going to the movie. So here's why I'm all for it, and I can't wait to try it. Right? Because I do like going to, you know, Disney World, right? Attractions, yeah. And that kind of like sometimes those attractions you barely move in those anyway, too, right? And
yeah, it feels
like,
locked
you go like Star Tours or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. That's gonna be like in Star Watch. You're gonna be on Star Tours when you go to the movies, where you walk into a room and then just the little thing you're in shakes. But is it too much? Like it's visually obviously they perfected the audio and the visual to a degree that I think we're down with, right? If you want super big screens, you do the IMAX. You want the picture quality is amazing. The sound quality, the surround sound, you hear the boom, 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 you know, and all that stuff. That's all great. So what's next? Like it's the feel, you know, you got touch is next because you've got the eyes. How many senses do we have? We've got
five,
the eyes.
Correct.
We're tasting the movie soon. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I was wondering, you know, because using your Disney example, like when you do the Soarin',
it's a screen, but they're just
but they also
around.
Hit you with the smell.
They do have smell. Yeah, and there's the smoke and or
does that include
stuff
in,
like that?
Is that in the D-Box?
I don't think it is. No, I've never experienced a D-Box. Here's the thing: we're in a Malco market, so we have to, you know, and it's great. Like if we're gonna have a movie theater chain that's gonna be the dominant one locally, Malco's a fantastic one to have for it. And this is just another step, you know, for them. They brought us IMAX officially to the theaters. They developed their own version with MXTs, you know, and we got those. And I think it's probably harder to develop your own D-Box. So
yeah.
You do partner with the leading authority in that. There's hundreds of these screens across different states, and we will have it according to, you know, the release that they're going to start installing these in September. And should be operational by Thanksgiving, Jeffrey. So, like, you go eat your Thanksgiving dinner, and then
what are the big Thanksgiving releases?
I don't
know
if I would try this right after eating Thanksgiving dinner this year. Thanksgiving.
Or popping your contact right back in?
Yeah. So, Thanksgiving, we're in Thanksgiving 2026. I'm looking ahead. I've been looking, you know, we've been counting down to when the hell is Frozen coming out. We know it keeps getting bumped back to different Thanksgivings.
That was part of D23, right?
Yes, but it's finally going to be next Thanksgiving. This, you want to know what's coming out? Thanksgiving movie releases.
What are the big holiday ones? Like what? So Thanksgiving through Christmas.
Thanksgiving weekend this year, you've got Focker in Law. The
so that's the
sequel.
Latest. Yeah, I had a lot of questions about the Fockers. Meet the Parents.
Yes,
Meet the Parents cinematic
There's
universe.
There's going to be yes, exactly. There's going to be another Narnia movie, another Hunger Games movie. It doesn't seem like it's. It's that exciting.
Another Narnia movie, or like, are we like rebooting Narnia?
Those are coming up later on in the calendar. It seemed like it was the sequel. I don't know. I didn't see any of those. I'll be honest. I haven't seen those. Prior to that coming out, you have Cat in the Hat. I mean,
we're redoing that.
They're doing like what they did with the Grinch cartoon with the Cat in the Hat. So they're doing like a, you know how the Grinch cartoon movie came out?
Correct, with Benedict.
So they're doing a Cat in the Hat cartoon. That animation looks very similar style. If we talk about animation style here today on 92.9 FM ESPN, but whatever the lineup exactly is coming out later this year, this is going to enhance it. But I know you can go see it in D-Box, but I feel like it's right for obviously action movies, right? Like you move.
Well, it feels like the one that would have been big for this was The Odyssey.
I mean, I feel like Odyssey, Spider-Man would have been, a lot of stuff that we do have Doomsday is coming out later this year around this time. So, maybe Doomsday is what you would go see in this.
I guess, though, the other issue, though, is so if we use the 3D example, I didn't think all 3D was horrible.
Dune Part 3 is coming out later on this year around the holidays.
The problem, though, is the movies that were not designed for 3D and then just were essentially repackaged.
Well, yeah, those aren't good. You've got to be shot for
3D. The first time I saw How to Train Your Dragon, in 3D, that was the first time I'd seen one. I was like, this is good. Because it was the animation, like, it was meant to be.
Well, I mean, Avatar, did you see Avatar 3D? That was good. That was like Avatar.
I think I saw
Hugo, the Academy Award nominated.
I want to say I saw Avatar 2D.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
I want to say I didn't spend the money.
That was when it looked like, okay, this could be the future, but you have to shoot it that way and you had to make it that way. No, I agree. Is this going to be a trend? Is this going to be the standard? Is this going to be some things people, I think it's definitely going to be some things people don't like they don't like 3D, people who don't like 3D, but then not every screen's going to be this. They're going to do three screens at Paradiso locally, three at Carville. So locally, you're going to have six screens a day showing these movies. You're not going to have that many options. You've got to go to one of those two theaters. One of the you know, sometimes like if it's a big release, you know, you probably have Doomsday going to be on multiple of those screens. So you're not going to have many options on what to see.
But do you think, will this take over as the most desired? So like, will this be, when you know the big, Doomsday is a perfect example. All right, well, we know Doomsday, people are going to buy their tickets early. Are the D-boxes going to sell out before
IMAX,
the other screens?
I think that's what's cool about it is giving you a whole nother, like, enhanced experience. And you got to decide, I guess, too, like, whether you're and your wife. Like, maybe she's got a preference for one or the other. But if you're going to go to these movies, do you want to see it on the big IMAX? Or do you want to see it where your seat's going to be moving around with the movie? It gives you a whole nother way to another option. And then maybe if a 3D movie comes out, maybe you're choosing between IMAX 3D and D-Box. But I don't think you can get all three at the same time. I think you're going to have to choose.
All right. If
IMAX isn't going to have
it. If seat selection were of no consequence. So let's say it's all the same. You can get the same seats, IMAX. You can get the same seats, D-Box or Dolby Atmos.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suspect you will search first for Doomsday?
Oh, and initially, I mean, I think D-Box, but it's going to be, I'm guessing it's going to be a tough ticket. This is a.
But you think that you would default, if all things being equal, if you could pick, you think that would be the one you would pick?
Yes. I right now, I would, yeah. I'm not as big, I mean, I like IMAX. I think IMAX is cool, but
I think
if it's a shot for IMAX movie.
I think the Atmos is actually underrated. The Atmos theaters.
And I agree with you. I'll try to see it on those. But, like, it costs more to see an IMAX. It's going to cost more to see a D-Box. I know. I think the value, I could see and feel, obviously,
yeah,
the value more in a D-Box. If my seat is moving with it, I may not like it. I mean, if I'm at Disney World and I go to one of those attractions and it's just a ride where you go in and your seat moves a little bit and the room may shake some, like, I'm like, that's a lame attraction at this place. But for a movie, it could be an enhanced added part of the experience. So, well, we'll see. I don't know. I'll try it out. I know what IMAX is. It's a giant screen,
yeah,
and it is one that some people like Connor Dunning here, he's got to see everything in IMAX. If he doesn't see it in IMAX, he's like disappointed himself.
He's got a more trained eye, though.
But like, we're gonna have three of these theaters in the city and three in the suburbs, and it's always going to be showing the newest, like, kind of like the IMAX, right?
Yep.
So, like, it's not going to be the easiest ticket to get.